This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
I'm here with Doro Martin, and we're talking about mobile storytelling. Welcome to Geeks Out.
Hi, thanks for having me.
What is mobile storytelling?
I'm not sure if there's one definition yet. So the way I define it at the moment is really if it's stories that are created on and for mobile devices. I think at the moment that's the status quo. I think we're developing or going into a direction where mobile means that I'm, as a user, as the audience, am mobile and I'm picking stories on surfaces surrounding me. So, but that's kind of the future. At the moment, it's really like smartphone, tablet, when I'm on the go.
I have a Kindle app on my iPhone. Is it something similar to that or different?
Well, good point. I think with the Kindle app, what comes for that, it's an ebook. That means it's first created on... it's not created on mobile in most cases, so there is a different production line and process until you have it on the Kindle. So maybe that might be another point. It's not only for the mobile, but also created on the mobile.
Okay, and do you still go through the story in a linear fashion, or do you jump?
I think that's one of the possibilities you have on mobile, because if you... start with how people use their phones. You come quickly to the point that they are used to skimming stuff and using links, having pictures, comment on stuff. So it's a different way of storytelling in the end. So yes, one could argue that something like an ebook on the Kindle app is kind of mobile, right? But it's not developed with mobile in mind, I think.
It's really an extension of the paper book, just presented in an electronic format.
Yeah. It's a digitized book, if you like. Yeah.
And do mobile stories, do they contain a lot of alternate media like photographs and audio clips and video clips and things like that?
They can. I mean, that's the possibilities you have, because smartphone can do all that. You can produce quite easily videos, audio clips, images, and include them. Also, switching between different platforms or including links, giving people the possibility to choose between different paths of a story, all that is possible quite easily and is more or less just a copy of how people are used to communicate nowadays, so through Snapchat or Instagram stories.
Very, very short and small messages.
Right. And in most cases, more about anecdotes, so sharing stuff from your personal life, not necessarily a whole rounded up story, although it's possible to do that. Very fast paced often, and it doesn't need to be perfect, I think. It's like you start a story where you don't have an ending yet on social.
Okay, so when you're writing it, you don't necessarily have the ending.
Yeah, I think so, because it's even if it's a heightened experience like the anecdote is from your personal life, you have this short glimpse and you might have an ending or like a what's the English word for that? A twist in the end, like a funny thing. It's always part of a bigger picture. And the bigger picture, is your life. So it's ongoing.
I hope you're not
interested.
Yes. do mobile stories, do they sit better with a younger audience rather than an older audience?
I think so, definitely. So when you look at certain apps like the whole chat fiction phenomenon, or also stuff like episode or choices, the interactive part, that's totally a younger audience, something between 14 and 24. And the whole chat fiction phenomenon, I think, is crazy at the moment. So it's basically like we use WhatsApp, mm-hmm. and that story is told in WhatsApp format. So really, okay. chat conversations ongoing.
It's very interesting.
It is actually, because the way the stories are written, it differs, I think, from other serialized formats in terms of it's totally exaggerated. So it has this anecdote character, but it is a story. So you run through a plot on steroids, more or less. It's totally often exaggerated. But the addictive thing of tapping on the screen to see the next chat bubble and to learn how the story ends, often with a twist in the end, is fascinating.
It sounds very, very interesting. Now, you mentioned, was it a platform or a product just a minute ago?
That's a product, different products, different apps. The first one was Hooked, and now you have Tap from Wattpad, and a lot of copycats. Like Read It, and I don't know how they are all called.
Are these platforms that people can use to publish their own stories?
That differs. Tap, you can write your own stories. For example, Hooked, I'm not sure if they have the function yet. I think so. And some of the other platforms, it's either or. You really have to check them out if it's doable or not.
So I'd imagine that this opens up the art of publishing, or the ability to publish, to a huge number of people, because it'd be fairly easy to start doing it, wouldn't it?
Absolutely. I think the pioneer in that was an app called Wattpad. They focus on mobile writing on mobile from the beginning. So they have a web platform as well, but a lot of communities, for example, in the Philippines, where they are really huge, write on mobile too. And these are serialized, like novellas or ongoing soap style stories in most cases, but you have them through all the genres, and you have a very strong community giving you feedback why you write and publish them.
How hard is it then for a writer to get their story seen by readers?
Well, Wattpad, for example, it's a free platform, so you don't get paid and you don't have to pay something. They added some kind of, if you want to read on mobile ad-free, you have to pay, but that's, as a creator, you create for free. And you also don't have to pay, so... what you need to do is some kind of marketing too. I mean, you have to have a good story, true, but then you build community like you do on any other platform, meaning you write other stories, you comment there and all that stuff, and then you try to use your networks.
Yeah, and you build on your following.
Yeah.
It sounds... I guess Amazon Kindle went through something similar in that it allowed lots and lots of authors to publish for nothing and to sell the books very, very cheaply. I guess this mirrors this in some way, but generally, are all these platforms for free?
They have a business model, so you can, most of the chat fiction platforms, you can read to a certain point, and then you have to wait either like 20 minutes if you want to continue and read the end of the story,
yeah.
Or you subscribe either for a week, a month, or the daily thing is, the yearly subscription is the cheapest.
How many people read mobile stories?
I think a lot, and not only young ones. So for these apps, I think they have something like several million people now. The Wattpad community is, I think, the biggest readers and writing community that's out there, with something like 10 million or something like that. So it's really huge. And I mean, where does mobile storytelling start? Now we're back at that point, because I think we all kind of read on mobile and consume content and even stories there. We don't necessarily switch totally to mobile, I think. So it's like, in most cases, I think it's like a mixed use case between, okay, if I have a book with me, I read the book, but on the train or whatever,
Yeah, well, if I've got 5 minutes to spare or something, then I'll use my mobile.
Yeah.
In your professional life, you're a publisher of physical books, but with a little bit of a twist. Can you tell us what the twist is?
So the publishing house is called Das Wilde Dutzend, something like the Wild Dozen. And the twist is that the whole publishing house's identity itself is kind of a story world that we built together with a group of people coming together in pen and paper evenings, and each book is only like the entry point to one of the fictional story worlds we have created, and those can be followed through with physical events from theater to exhibitions, but a lot of that also happens on the web. So that's kind of like the idea to make really... we started with transmedia storytelling when that was really the thing to do. And for us, it's really fun.
What is transmedia storytelling?
Transmedia storytelling means that you have one story and one story world, and you have different media, and you... divide the parts of the story world, spread it over different media, and in the best case scenario, each medium, you use the advantages of each medium to
convey the message.
Yes.
Okay.
And so if you only read the book, that's fine. You have a story, a completed story, but if you dig deeper, you will have a richer experience.
Getting the sense that a lot of what's happening in the mobile storytelling space is that you're looking at ways to engage and to excite the reader and to keep them, you know, interested and wanting to come back over and over. And a lot of those principles, I figure, are also embedded in gamification. Do you see a parallel between the two to some degree?
Yeah, absolutely. I think we have such a big amount of huge amount of content out there now, and if you want to make money with content, it's necessary to really reach people and to get them immersed in bigger story worlds. And one of the points to do that, I think, is gamification. And the other apps I mentioned in the beginning, this interactive fiction part, they use a lot of gamified methods to bring people back. So it's like a free-to-play version where if you want to advance quicker or want to add on your characters, stuff like that, you pay.
Do you think mobile storytelling is going to move onto wearables, like watches?
Interesting. Why not? I think it will be a combination, really, with all the AR possibilities coming with the next generations of phones, that you really, you are not, I think you won't have to look anymore on your phone screen, but really you could use more or less any screen that is there.
Like Google Goggles.
Yes, and I'm really looking forward to Niantic is doing the Pokemon Go, and Ingress game developers, they are doing next year a Harry Potter story world. So the next game, like location-based game, will be Harry Potter. And
that's
because that's
very popular.
Yes, yeah. And because it's such a rich story world, I think that has to be more storytelling than just running around. Well, I think with the mobile storytelling part, we often focus on the text and the writing, but I think in the meantime they develop so many different formats or media you can use to tell stories on mobile. So for example, with Anchor, you have like a audio format that's kind of like a mix between a social media network and information ongoing series building thing. Or another thing from the Watchpad Labs is called Raccoon, where you videotape yourself telling an anecdote to a certain topic from your life. And I think it's only one step or a way that gets more fictionalized in a certain way. So I think it doesn't have to be text-driven mobile storytelling. There can be other media as the driving force.
Thank you very much for spending time with us. It's been very, very interesting.
Thank you very much.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA plus community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.